Amen. Could we just lift up our hands tonight and magnify the Lord? Did you come tonight to magnify the Lord? Have your way, Jesus. God, we're here for you tonight. We came for you tonight. God, we didn't come for anybody else. We didn't come for anything else. We came for you. Have your way tonight, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you what, y'all better be careful. Y'all have put in an atmosphere that's going to be very, 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 very easy to preach in. And I'm not even going to get into the spill of who I am or where I came from or who I belong to or anything like that, because if I did, I don't know that y'all probably don't want to be here that long. Did they get the slides working? Yes, no? You did, okay. So I want to ask you this question tonight as they bring up this first slide. Have you ever seen this sign before, or any of those three signs before? And it seems like the past few Sunday nights that I've been here, Brother Hewitt preached on pursuing. And little did he know that night before I'd sent Pastor Mike a text message with that exact same scripture in it about pursuing and recovering everything that the devil's stolen from us. Amen? And then last Sunday night, our sister preached on proceeding and not giving up. And I tried my very, very best to find something else to preach. Okay? And I don't know who it's for. Maybe it's for me. Maybe I'm the one. I've been here every time I've heard it, all I can hear is don't stop. Keep on going. Don't quit. Keep pursuing. Keep proceeding. But tonight, I'm getting ahead of myself, but tonight I'm going to preach to you on the simple message of I will not stop. I want to ask you again, have you seen these signs anywhere? They're pretty rare. It's a pretty rare occasion if you've seen these signs before. And it's kind of rare to see, but surely if you took your driver's test however many years ago that you've seen these signs before, and if you don't know what these signs mean, or if you've never seen them before, then I'm praying for you that you don't have to get your license renewed in the next few months or next few days. But this sign right here is a street sign, and this sign means this. It means no stopping zone. It is the no stopping zone. In other words, if you're coming through the road and you see this sign, it simply means to continue on or to proceed and to keep moving, to keep going, keep pursuing, and don't you stop. Go ahead and look at your neighbor and say, don't you stop. Tonight I want to preach to you a very simple message that's in my heart that I told you that I tried and tried and tried to get away from, because this is a message that you guys have heard the past several weeks. And like I said, I don't know who it's for. Maybe it's for me, but somebody needs to get this in their spirit tonight and continue through what you're going through. It's a real simple message tonight, but I really feel like the Lord was wanting me to stir somebody's faith this evening. And I want to preach to you on a real simple thought tonight called I Will Not Stop. I will not stop. Philippians 3, if you'll stand for the reading in the Word. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. When you get there, just say amen. It says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal, or I press toward the mark of the prize, or for the prize, for the calling of God in Christ Jesus. So basically what this is saying is I have forgotten those things which are behind me, and I'm moving forward to the things that God has before me. I'm pressing forward, or I'm pressing towards. I will not stop. Let's pray tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we love you. God, we praise you for being God tonight. We praise you that you still heal, that you still save, that you still set free, that you still baptize people in the Holy Ghost, that you are the same God tonight that you were 2,000 years ago. And God, I pray that you would anoint me as your servant to preach tonight. Anoint my words. Don't let me speak anything that's not of you. God, anoint the congregation's ears to hear and let us be doers and not only hearers, but doers of the word tonight as we proceed into this next week. And God, we thank you and we give thanks for tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. This evening I came to make a declaration to you, or I came to send a little reminder, and I came this evening to let the devil know, and I came this evening to let some people know in this church tonight, to let my family know, and to let my spouse know, and to let my parents know, and to let everybody in this room know that tonight I've come to let the enemy know, and let everybody else on your row know. I come to let the doubters know, and I come to let the enemy know, and I come to let everybody here tonight know, and I've settled in my heart, and I'm absolutely determined tonight, and I'm fully committed to serving Jesus, and I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to lay down. I'm not going to give up, and I'm not going to deactivate. I'm determined that I'm not going to let up no matter what the devil throws at me. I don't care. I'm pressing toward the mark. I'm running with reckless abandon. Listen, I'm determined in my heart tonight that I'm going to be everything that God has called me to be. And I'm going to have everything that God has called me to have. Listen, tonight I'm determined that I'm not going to stop. Amen. Lord, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to run after you today. I'm going to run after you with all of my heart. And for these next few minutes, we've already prayed, but I pray that God's going to bless our time through these next few verses and these scriptures, and He's going to touch our hearts. But and tonight, to stop means this. To stop means to come to an end. It means to cease to happen. It means to quit. To stop means to block, or it means to close up or put an end to something. To stop means to halt, or it means to terminate, or it means to stand still, or to become immobile. Or to stop means to discontinue or to deactivate, to shut down or to cut short and to refrain from moving forward. To stop means to bring something to an end and to quit. John 10:10 says Jesus' word says, and it's in red, that's how we know it's Jesus speaking. He says, the thief cometh to steal and to kill and to destroy. 1 Peter 5:8 says, and I'm paraphrasing just a little bit so I don't have to read the entire thing. It says, your adversary, that's the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Paul writes to the church of the Galatians, and he says to them in Galatians 5:7, he said, you ran so well for a time or for a season, but who hindered you? You that you should not obey the truth. It is the enemy's desire. Man, I feel this in my heart for somebody tonight. It is the enemy's desire, and it is the enemy's plan, and it is the enemy's work to get you and I to come to a point in our life where we want to just give up and we want to stop. It is his plan and his scheme and his motivation to get you and I to stop and to try to stop us from doing what God has called us to do. The devil will do everything that he can, and he has, and he has tried to stop you and try to attempt to stop you from your confession into salvation. He's tried everything he can do to stop you, to block you, to hinder you. The devil was absolutely mad the day that you turned your life around and accepted Jesus Christ, because he tried everything he could do in his might to stop you. He tried everything he could do to block you from getting to Jesus. He tried to harm you. He tried to hurt you before you even knew Christ, so you could be so damaged when you got to the point in your mind and in your soul that you would never want the God of the universe. He tried to lie over you. He tried to steal from you. He tried to do everything he can. He attempted to stop you from your confession to salvation. And he was mad the day you got saved. But I want to tell somebody tonight that the devil is still mad, and the devil is going to continue to be mad. And that's okay. Let him be mad all he wants. People get mad at us every single day of the week, and that doesn't matter. Let him get mad. He attempted to stop you, and he's still mad about it. And you know what? The devil will not stop. When the devil gets mad, he will not stop. He's going to try his very best to stop you and to make you quit everything that you've got going for you. It is the enemy's desire to stop you from serving God, to stop you from running after Christ. It's the enemy's desire to stop you from going to church and to stop you from reading the Word and fellowshipping with the saints. He wants to stop you from coming and fellowshipping with
the people here at Trinity Pentecostal Church of God in Siloam Springs when he can put that little bug in your ear and say, oh, you can just pull somebody else's church up on Facebook and you can watch it while you're sitting on your couch. He wants to stop you from coming to church. He wants to stop you from fellowshipping with people. He wants to stop your praise. He wants to stop your giving and your tithing. Notice I put those two things as separate things. Tithing and giving is not the same thing. And I can say that because I'm not your pastor. Tithing and giving is not the same thing. He wants to snuff out the fire in you. He wants to dam up those rivers of living water that's in your belly. He wants to seal up the heavens over you. But I come to tell someone today, the devil, he will fight, and the devil, he will tempt. The devil, he will gnaw at you, and he will bring the wrong people in your life. He will lie about you and to you. He will try to hinder you. He will distract you and discourage you. He'll bring all the wrong people into your life that you don't need. He'll bring the wrong stuff, and he'll bring the wrong situations, and he'll bring trials and temptations and tribulations your way to fight against you and to tempt you, to try to get you to give in and to give up and to try to get you to run away, to deactivate and to stop. But number one tonight, I come to make a declaration to myself and the enemy and over every single person under the sound of my breath tonight. I come to let the enemy know that we are not going to stop. We're not going to quit. We're not going to bow down. We're not going to throw in the towel. We're not going to shut down. We're not going to discontinue. We're not going to come to a halt. We're not going to throw in the towel. We're not going to shut down. We're not going to deactivate, because I will not stop. My mind is made up. My heart is set. And my feet are planted on a solid rock. And I'm going to keep pressing. I'm going to keep praising. And I'm going to make my way to the destiny that God has for me. Look at your neighbor and tell them, I will not stop. I will not stop. The devil may try to block you, but we're going to press through anyway. Amen. The devil may try to hinder you, but you're going to bind him because you have the authority to do so. Amen. Did you know that? Did you know that as a child of God, you have every authority under God to bind every demon and devil in hell? Sometimes I believe that, Brother Chris, we forget how much authority we really have under the name of Jesus. He may try to block you, but we've got to press through. The devil may try to hinder you, but you're going to bind him. The devil may try to steal from you, but if he does, listen to this, God's going to make him return sevenfold everything that he stole from you. The devil may try to surround me with haters, but watch out, devil, when God prepares for me a table, even in the presence of mine enemies. The devil may try to push me into a valley of the shadow of death, but watch out, devil, because God's about to be my rod and my staff and be my comforter. The devil may try to throw me in the fire. He may even say, go ahead and heat it up seven times hotter. But you better watch out, devil, because if you throw me in the fire even seven times hotter, look on down, because there's a fourth man in the fire, and that is the Son of God walking through my fire with me. They may throw me in a Philippian jail cell, but at midnight, I'm going to choose to praise my God in the middle of it anyhow. They may criticize my praise, but watch out, or watch me become more undignified than what I was before. Just like David, they may try to crowd me out from seeing and touching him, but if I can just press through and just but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. They may try to discourage you. They may try to discourage me from seeing him. The devil may try to block me, but you better watch out, devil, because I will climb up into a sycamore tree to see the Lord if I have to. Hallelujah. Listen, they may try to stop my praise, but I'm determined in my life that I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Maybe I'm preaching to the devil tonight. Maybe I just came to let the devil know that we mean business. That we mean business. Devil, you might try to throw sickness on me, but I'm going to bless the Lord anyhow. You might try to mess with my kids, but I'm going to bless the Lord anyhow. Somebody needs to claim that tonight. Somebody's kids have been messed with. Somebody's family's being messed with. And you need to learn how to bless the Lord in the good times just as good as you do in the bad. I said that wrong. You need to learn how to bless the Lord in the bad times just as good as you do in the good times. Even when you ain't got the money to pay all your bills, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord at all times. You know, He inhabits the praises of His people. And He has a hard time blessing somebody who's not willing to sacrifice something up to Him. Amen. You might try to mess with my family. You might even turn my family against me, but I'm going to bless the Lord anyhow. You might try to discourage me, but I'm going to bless the Lord anyhow. The people might turn on me, but I'm going to bless the Lord anyhow. I won't stop. I won't stop. Listen, you might look at someone who gets excited and runs and dances before the Lord and shouts before the Lord, and you might say, man, I can't believe that they're acting a fool like that. But listen, you don't know what God brought them out of. You know what? We're in a Pentecostal church, and if you want to get a little undignified, then you have at it, because God saved you and God set you free from bondage, and He made a way when there was no way. I will not stop. Ephesians 6 and 13 says, therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, how many knows in here tonight that there are going to be days where evil seems to follow us wherever we go? Everywhere that we turn, everywhere that we look, evil is going to be right in front of our face. But when the day of evil comes, that you will be able to stand your ground. And having done all that you've done to stand, stand therefore. I remember an old song Sister Priscilla Magruder wrote when she was battling her first round of breast cancer. And Brother Magruder walked into her room and it freaked him out. And he thought she had done lost her mind. And I know this story because I've watched them so many times on YouTube. Okay? But I love the Magruders. And she came to a point in her life where she didn't know what else to do. The doctors had given them a bad report. She didn't know what she was going to do. She was fixing to die. And she didn't have any energy. And Brother Magruder walked into their prayer room. And he seen her standing up on the Word of God. And he said, what are you doing? And she didn't even have the strength to speak to him. And the little bit that she could get out of her mouth, she said, I'm standing because it's all I've got left to do. When you've done all that you can do and you've stood and all you've done to stand, keep on standing. James 4 and 7 says, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and what will happen? He will flee from you. I come to encourage somebody tonight that's been going through it. I come to tell somebody the devil's been fighting you and he's been fighting your family. But listen to me tonight. Put on the full armor of God and stand and submit yourself to God and resist the devil. And he is about to flee from you. Why? Because you will not quit. And he knows you won't stop. Come on, this is old school church preaching today. Y'all got me feeling like I'm in a camp meeting type service rather than just a normal church service. But I came to say tonight that I'm not going to stop. Or if I talk in my uneducated Arkansas grammar, I ain't going to stop. I ain't going to quit. Amen. One time I heard a story about a farmer that was an abusive farmer to his animals, and he was a very mean man, and he got tired and he got fed up and lost his patience with one of his mules. Anybody a farmer here tonight? Y'all know kind of what I'm talking about when you work cows all day and you can't get one to work and can't get one into a chute and you're to the point where you're about ready to lose your salvation over a cow. Anybody ever been there before? Come on now, I may be a preacher, but that doesn't mean I haven't came to the point sometimes where somebody's tested my patience to the point where I'm like, okay, God, you better take over. Huh? Anybody ever dealt with anything like that? This farmer came to a point with one of his mules where he had lost his patience. So he went out and he dug him a ditch or he dug him a hole or whatever you want to call it, a grave. And he went out and grabbed his mule and he pushed that mule down into that grave and pushed him down in there. So the mule was standing down in his pit. Come on, that's a whole other sermon I could preach right there. How many of us tonight, going through this old, sinful, dirty walk of life, woke up one morning after everything had been going good and you found yourself in a pit that you didn't ask for? Come on, help me preach tonight. You found yourself in a pit that you don't know how you got there. You don't know who threw you in there. You don't know how you got into this pit, but someday you woke up one morning and you found yourself looking out of a pit saying, how in the world did I get here? This old mule was thrown down into his pit, pushed down in there, and the mule was standing down there looking up at this farmer who was his owner. You know, mules are very, what do you call it? They're very loyal to their owners, and I can just see him looking up out of this pit to his owner like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this to me? We've all, at some point in our life, have woken up, or awakened up, however you say that. Woke up one morning and you found yourself in a pit that you didn't really ask to be in a grave, waiting to die. So the farmer began to take the dirt that he had already shoveled out, or he dug out with a backhoe or whatever, but we're going to say he didn't have anything but a shovel. If he's going to kill his animal, he don't need to do anything but dig with it. So he began to throw dirt, throw it down into the grave on top of that mule. This gets me excited. I can't even hardly read this story. The mule was standing there, and one after another, the farmer was throwing the dirt on top of the mule. The mule was just standing there taking it. Another scoop of dirt on top of the mule. One after another, he keeps shoveling dirt to bury the mule alive in his own grave. To eventually where the dirt got all around his feet, and the mule began to get some revelation. Come on, we can preach about a mule tonight. A little light began to flicker in his mind. Something began to stir up deep down inside of him, and what he began to do was he began to shake off the dirt, and then he began to pack it under his feet. The farmer would throw some dirt, and then he would shake it off. And he would put it under his feet. He would throw more dirt, and then he would shake it off and pack it under his feet to where eventually it began to rise up, and all of a sudden the mule jumped up out of the grave and he ran for his life. And I said all that to say this. I want to share you what the Bible says to shake the dust off your feet if they don't receive you. Jesus talked about that. But listen, the dirt that they threw on the mule now became a platform for him to get out of his pit. Hallelujah. Listen, the devil tries to throw some dirt on us every day. He tries to do things to knock us down. And what I'm going to tell you tonight is go ahead and just shake it off. Shake it off and put it under your feet. He tries to lie about you. Shake it off and pack it under your feet. When he tries to mess with your finances, shake it off and put it under your feet. When he tries to mess with your kids, Sister Horton, shake it off and put it under your feet. When he tries to mess with your ministry, he tries to mess with your calling and your anointing. He's been messing with your marriage. Listen, I come to tell somebody to shake it off and put it under your feet. Because the thing that the devil's trying to use to take you out will be the very thing that God is going to use to lift you up and take you up. He's about to take somebody up. He's about to take somebody out. Somebody in here, you need to shake some stuff off. Some stuff they said about you, some stuff they did to you, some stuff the devil put you through. Listen, all you got to do is shake it off. Put it under your feet because you're about to jump out of the grave that the devil made for you. Amen. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. I feel this in my heart today. We came tonight to make a declaration to the devil that we won't stop. We won't stop. We're going to keep pressing. We're going to keep praising. We're going to praise him anyhow. And I feel like in this room that there's somebody that's fixing to have a testimony that is, the devil should have never even tried it. The devil should have never even tried to mess with me. The devil should have never even tried to mess with my family. Have you ever been there before where the devil began to mess with your stuff and he began to mess with your family and everything is falling apart around you and he's messing with your joy and he's messing with your peace, messing with your stuff, messing with your heart, with your mind? It's like everything's falling apart around you. Things are going haywire and all hell's broke loose. Trying to get you discouraged and depressed. Listen, sometime at some point in your life, you need something to rise up and says, you know what? The devil's going to wish that he would have never done this, or he would have never tried, because I'm going to praise my God anyhow. There's an old song that says, hallelujah anyhow. I'm going to keep pressing, and the devil's going to wish he never would have went to battle with me. He would have never tried. Number one, we come to declare to the enemy that we won't stop. Number two, I came tonight to let my God know that I will not stop. Come on, somebody. I come to let the enemy know that I won't stop, but tonight I also come to let my God know that I am committed, that I am fully committed to keep on keeping on. The devil will try to stop you, and you got to press through. But I come to tell you this evening. The devil will tempt you, and he will fight you to try to get you to stop. And I'm fixing to make a left turn on you, so I'm fixing. I know it's fixing to get quiet, but that's all right. But there's also seasons that God will test you to see if you will stop. See, I just turned left on you. The devil will tempt you to try to get you to stop. But there's also going to be times that God is going to put you through a test to see if you will stop. You say, uh-oh, he's talking about God going to test me to see if I'll stop. I didn't say that God was going to tempt you, because God does not tempt. But he will test you. I said that God will test you. God doesn't tempt his people to sin. The devil will tempt you, but God will test you to see if you will qualify for the next. In my current role where I work as a training and development manager at Tyson at one of the plants in Rogers, Arkansas, one of my direct things that I am over is I am over the new hires of the plant. And before, once they're hired, once they go through their week of orientation and they do all the things that they've got to do in the first week where they're not really even touching the floor or touching production, there is a point when they get out into production and there's qualification standards for each and every single position in the plant. And yes, it took me several days and maybe even a couple of weeks to get all that wrote up, but there are things that they have to do to qualify to move on to the next. That's what God does when he's testing you. He wants to know whether or not that you're qualified to move on to the next. He's going to test you to see if you'll qualify for the next, to see if you're ready or you're prepared for promotion. If you are a good steward and obedient in this season, in this testing, then you'll be qualified for the next. Sometimes we don't have next because we haven't yet qualified for it. Because there's some stuff that he's still working on deep down inside of us. Amen. Sometimes God will test you to see if you will stop. He'll search you and he'll try your heart and he'll begin to reveal and to press on you, to reveal to you. Sometimes, you know what? He'll allow that hammer to hit the edge of your thumb. Huh? You say, no, that's the devil. No, that's God testing you. You know why? Because there's probably something deep down inside of you that doesn't need to be in there. And he's going to let you hit your hammer on your thumb to see what you let fly out of your mouth. That ain't the devil. That's God showing you. You got something in there. Don't ever pray that God give me more patience. Anybody ever done that before? I learned that one. You know what happened? He started testing my patience to develop it within me. God will allow things to come. God will allow suffering. It doesn't make sense, but he said that I reckon that this present... I like that. He must be from Arkansas, I reckon. I reckon that this present suffering won't be compared to the glory that will be revealed in me. The suffering is the doorway to a greater glory in the next season. He will allow a setback, but watch our God, because a setback is really a setup for a comeback. It's really a setup for something greater around the corner. He will allow a struggle because there is significance in the struggle. Nobody likes to struggle, but suffering produces glory. Resistance produces strength. And sometimes the devil tries to tempt you to get you to quit, but sometimes it is God testing you to see if you're ready for the promotion that he has for you, to see if you really want what you've been praying for. So what I'm going to tell you tonight is you better be careful what you pray for. Don't take that the wrong way, but you better be careful. He'll try to get you to, the devil will try to get you to quit. What God wants to know is if you really want this. Do you really want Him? Do you really want a new mantle of anointing on your life? Do you really want Him above all? Will you quit or will you press through? Sometimes God will test you to see if you really want it. And I've come to tell my God today that I won't stop. I want You. I want everything that You have for me, God. I will press through. Yes, I will carry my cross. Yes, I will eat of Your flesh and drink of Your blood. I will go where You want me to go. I will do what You want me to do. I want all that You have for me, but don't do anything without me. Don't leave me behind. We've come to make a declaration to the enemy that we won't stop. But we also came to make a declaration to our God that we won't stop. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. And I'm going to paraphrase this. You find a story of two men. One was a prophet, and one was about to be a prophet. It was Elisha and Elijah. Two powerful men of God that everybody in this room knows were very powerful and very called of God. Elijah would call down fire, and God would show up in a mighty way, and he'd prophesy, and there would be a drought. And you've heard many sermons preached when he said, I could hear the sound of the abundance of rain coming. It was Elijah that spoke it and could hear it. Elijah was a great prophet, but Elisha, his protege, or his spiritual son, if you will, Elisha was also a very incredible man of God as well. If you look over his life, one day, Elisha is plowing the field with the ox that he has. He was a farmer. That's all he's known all of his life was farming and working hard day in and day out from sunup to sundown. He was plowing in the field, but he was an excellent, incredible man of God. And that's all he's known was hard work. His dad was a farmer. His grandfather was a farmer and passed on from generation to generation. He was a farmer doing what farmers do, doing the ordinary things. And one day, God told Elijah to go by the field and to cast his mantle upon Elisha and to anoint him to be a great prophet. And Elisha's out there plowing the field. And just picture this in your mind. And he has no idea what's about to happen. But Elisha walks by and he takes his mantle off and he casts his mantle onto Elisha and he keeps on walking. Something happens to Elisha when he receives the call. It was a sign or a symbol of a call to carry this mantle that this great man of God had carried. And he said, let me go kiss my mom and dad goodbye. Let me kiss goodbye the thing that got me here. In order to go to the next level, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes you got to kiss some stuff goodbye that got you here. It was good that it got you here, but you can't stay right here and expect to be able to go to the next. Let me kiss some stuff goodbye. And he burned up his yoke of oxen and all the instruments that he plowed with, and he began to pursue after Elijah. He burned up his backup plan. He had no backup plan. Basically what he was saying is, I won't stop. Even when it gets hard, even when the going gets tough, I have nothing to go back to because I burned it all up. Young people, you get in trouble when you get a backup plan other than God. Come on, somebody help me preach. You get in trouble when you have a backup plan of anything other than God. Elisha at this point begins to run after Elijah and the mantle that he carried. If you read later in Elisha's life, Elisha became a great prophet. And he asked Elijah, before Elijah was taken up in a chariot of fire supernaturally by God, and Elijah says, what is it, Elisha, that you desire? And what did Elisha say to him? He said, I want a double portion. He said, I want a double portion. What you've been carrying, Elijah, is great, it's phenomenal, and it's incredible. But I want double. I desire a double portion of what you've got. If you realize it and you study your Bible any at all, Elijah, he performed 14 miracles in Scripture. And Elisha performed 28. You know what happened? He asked, and he received a double portion anointing on his life, a mantle upon his life. I want to tell you this, before you can receive a fresh mantle, a fresh oil, a fresh fire, a fresh favor, a new season, maybe a new door to walk through. There is going to be a test that you're going to have to go through. There's going to be a test that's going to come your way to see if you really want the thing that you've been asking for, to see if you'll actually quit or how bad you really want it. The devil will tempt you to stop, but God may test you to see if you really want it. 2 Kings 2, verses 1 through 11. I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to get through it pretty quick. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, she puts it on the screen. You can read it if you'd like. Elijah was fixing to be taken up to heaven in a whirlwind, and Elisha and Elijah were on their way from Gilgal. And everybody say Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here or tarry here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as surely as you live, I will not leave you. I won't stop. I'm going with you." So they went on down to Bethel, and then Elijah said unto him again a second time, "For the Lord has now sent me to Jericho." And a second time Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here." And Elisha said back to Elijah, this is getting confusing for me, "I have to go with you to Jericho." And Elijah said, "Now God's sending me to Jordan. Stay here." And again, a third time, Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul liveth, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. Three times God tested Elisha. Elijah tested Elisha to see if he would just stop and stay as God called him to go to these other towns. But before there is a mantle, before there is a fresh oil released, sometimes there's a test to see if you really want the double portion anointing. Number one, Elijah said, "I've got to go to Gilgal, and you need to stay here." But Elisha said, "No, I've got to go with you, and I've got to go through Gilgal with you." Gilgal means this. It means the place of separation. Whew. It means this place of separation. Listen, I've come to tell you tonight that if you're ready and you want to proceed in the things of God and you want God to do things in your life and you want more and more and you think you're ready for a fresh mantle and a new oil and a fresh blessing and new doors to open up in your life, listen, I want to tell you that God is going to take you to a place and He will see and He's going to test you to see if you will stop or to see if you're going to go through the season of separation. Will you allow Him to separate you from your past? It's going to get deep. Will you allow Him to separate you from your flesh? Come on, somebody. Will you allow Him to do a work in you, to begin to separate you from them, those people that you know you shouldn't be hanging out with? Those people you know that you shouldn't be hanging out with, that lead you down the wrong path every single time. Sometimes God is going to take you down a path or He's going to separate you from them and that and him and her. You can't keep going and still be linked on to the things that God is calling you out of. You can't move into your tomorrow with God while you're still holding on to the things of yesterday. Yesterday's pain, yesterday's addiction, yesterday's bondage. You've got to allow God to get you to a point where He can separate those things in your heart. You've got to lay it down on the altar and say, "God, I am willing and I am ready. I won't stop. Take me out. Cleanse me of everything. Go ahead and do a work deep down inside of me and separate me from anything or separate anything out of me that is unlike you." Amen. Number two, then he said, "I've got to go to Bethel." And Elisha said again, "You need to stay here." Elijah said to Elisha, "You need to stay here." What did Elisha say the second time? "No, I'm not going to leave you." He was saying, "I won't stop. I'm going to go through Gilgal, number one. Number two, and now I'm going to go through Bethel. And I'm going to go through Bethel with you." Bethel means the house of God. Jacob saw the angelic beams ascending and descending. And he said, "I am in the place of God." And he didn't even know it. And he called that place Bethel. Elijah and Elisha are about to go to Bethel. And Elijah tests Elisha once more and says, you need to stay here. I'm going to go to the house of God. And Elisha said, no, I'm determined that I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go to Bethel with you. In other words, I'm going to the house of God with you. I'm going to the place. I'm going to a place. This is a place, you see, if you did really, to see if you desire to really know Him, to really be in His presence, to really partake of His blood and His flesh, amen. How many in here tonight just have a longing and you just have a desire to be in the presence of an Almighty God? God will test you to see if you really want Him and want to be a part of His body and want to be a part of His church. You know, in our day and time, we say on Sunday that we are going to church. I'm going to church. But you know what? In the New Testament, and especially in the book of Acts, the New Testament church, they really this statement really probably would not make sense to them because they realized and were taught and they understood that they were the church. They realized that they didn't have to go anywhere to have church. They realized that they were the church. They understood that they were the church. They didn't say that I'm going to the church. They said, we are the church. I am the church. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The same thing that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in within you, and you are the carrier of God's presence. Amen. And God wants to know, do you really want Him? Do you really want to carry Him? Will you really go to Bethel? Will you go through Bethel? Listen, I come to tell someone today that you cannot customize Jesus. You can't do it. You cannot customize Him to make Him who you want Him to be. In this day and time, we love to customize things. You can get on Amazon, you can get on a website, you can get on Etsy, and you can make anything as customizable as you want it to make it your own. Don't we? We like to do that. We like to customize things in this day. You can customize the house you want to build. Now you can pretty much get online and customize a car and build it from the tires all the way to the paint, whatever else you want inside, and send it straight to the dealership and go right down there and pick it up. We live in a culture in 2019 of customization. It's so crazy now that you can go to a restaurant and get in line and say, give me a little bit of pico and give me a little bit of guacamole, but not too much, and give me a little extra cheese, and you can customize your order exactly how you want it. We are a people that are used to customizing things just the way we want. We just want the things that we like. We just want the things that bring joy to us and pleasure to our lives. And I want that in my burrito full of pleasure. Nothing that I don't want. Keep that business out of there. I don't want no sour cream, as my father-in-law, he will not eat sour cream. So he customizes his burrito with the exception of sour cream. We want our burritos, we want everything that we want, full of pleasure. But I've come to tell you, there's a lot of people that have customized and created a Jesus that's not even the real Jesus. They just want blessing, and they want favor, and they want financial favor, and they want blessing in their life and increase, but they don't want to give. They don't want to fast. They don't want to pray. They don't want to tithe. They don't want to be faithful to the things of God. They want to customize their Jesus. Well, let me tell you something tonight. You cannot customize Jesus. You've got to take Him when He blesses you, and you've got to take Him when He corrects you. You've got to take Him when you're on the mountaintop, and you've got to take Him when you're deep down in the valley of the shadow of death. I'm going to go through Bethel, and I want everything that God has for my life. Number three, and I'm almost done. Jericho. Everybody say Jericho. Elijah said, okay, now I'm going to Jericho. You stay here. And Elisha says, no. I'm going with you. I won't stop. Have you noticed the trend? Elisha's fixing to pass this test. He ain't going to stop for whatever Elijah tries to get him to do. He says, I'll go to Jericho. What does Jericho mean? We understand in the Bible that Jericho was a place where there was a fierce battle, wasn't there? A very fierce battle. It was a place in the Promised Land. It was the first city that they conquered in the Promised Territory. And it represents a place of battle. But even more so, Jericho is a place, in my mind, of obedience. Why? Because God didn't give them, Brother Horton, a normal strategy to tear down those walls. Huh? He didn't give them a normal strategy to tear down those walls. He said, you're going to walk around those walls, and you're going to march every day. And on the seventh day, this is where it gets super specific, you'll march around seven times. And on the seventh time, you're going to shout, and you're going to begin to praise, and you're going to begin to cry out, and the walls are going to come down. It didn't make much sense. But my question to you tonight is, can you serve God when He takes you through a season that just don't make sense? Have you ever been there before? When you may find yourself deep down into a pit, you're like, what in the world? This don't make a lick of sense. How did I get here? I don't understand this. It doesn't make sense. But you've got to set deep down inside of your heart that I'm going to follow Him through it all. I'm going to trust Him. There's an old song that says, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. I love that old song. It don't feel good, but I'm going to follow Him because I trust Him. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to follow Him because, listen, God's not after your stuff that you can give Him. God's after the obedience that's in your heart. God is a God of principle. He's a God of grace, and He's a God of mercy, and I thank God for it. We wake up to brand new mercies every single day, and when you start to shift over, not only do you have grace and mercy, but then you start to realize that He's a God of principle, and I'm going to take His word seriously and follow His principle and His law and His way that brings such joy and such peace and delight, and it brings favor from God over your life, because it's all about how we honor to God. He's just looking for somebody to obey Him and honor Him. When I take this word and I honor it, it will show. That's a lot of the world's problem today, is we don't honor this word anymore. Brother Hewitt preached and was literally ripping pages out of the Bible, which is an exact replica of what we're doing today in 2019. We're customizing the word. We're customizing the Jesus to what we want, to eventually where there won't be no Bible. There won't be no Jesus anymore. But He's a God of principle. Say, some people say, well, I honor God. Well, it don't show. Why? Because they don't take His word seriously. They customize who they want their Jesus to be. And if you want the next season, and you've determined that you won't stop, then you're going to have to go through a Jericho. And you're going to have to come to a place and to a life of obedience. In every area of your life, your relationships, your finances, your family, your time, amen, every place, every area, obeying the Lord, going through Jericho. Number four, He said, I'm now going to Jericho. Or now I'm going to Jordan. And you would think by now, four times later, that He would have learned that He's not going to stop. But He continues to test Him, and He says, I'm going to Jordan, I want you to stay here. This time He said, I'm not going to leave you, I'm going with you all the way. Man, I feel the presence of the Lord in this place tonight. I'm going with you to Jordan. I'm going all of the way. And lastly tonight, I want to say to you, before you can move into your promised land, you've got to get into the River Jordan. This is the perfect vision of baptism. Not a picture of baptism into salvation, but Brother Hewitt, a baptism into purpose. Not only do I want to be baptized in Jesus to be saved, but I want to be baptized into His purpose and into His will. I want to be so completely and wholly submerged into His plan and in His purpose and His destiny for my life. Jordan, I will go to Jordan. I will be baptized into Your purpose. Are you hearing me? I will go all the way, Lord. I will not stop. Chris, if you want to come onto the music, if you wouldn't mind. I will not stop. I've come tonight to let the devil know that I'm not going to stop. I'm going to follow him through Gilgal. I'm going to follow him through Bethel. I'm going to follow him through Jericho. Even if he takes me to a place where I have to separate myself for some things. And I'm going to follow him to, and I'm going to follow him through Jordan. In closing tonight, I want you to stand to your feet across this building. In closing, I come to tell some people in this room tonight, I feel this for someone this evening. I come to tell someone, maybe more than one, that you are on the very verge of your due season. I said somebody in this room tonight is on the verge of their due season. Their due season. Galatians 6 and 9. They put that on the screen for me. I didn't give them any of my scriptures. I apologize. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season. Let me paraphrase that just a little bit. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For if you don't stop in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. In other words, you will reap if we don't quit. If we don't lose heart. If we get to a point where Brother Hewitt, we say, I don't care what I've got to go through. I'm going to pursue, and everything that the devil's taken from me, I'm going to recover everything. Get that in your mind tonight. In due season, if you don't stop, you will reap. I come to tell you today that the debt of due season is a promise from God. And God is not a man that he can lie. Amen. We know that. He ain't going to lie to us. The Bible says that his promises that are in this word are yea and they're amen. That means that he's going to take care of it and that he's going to go through with it no matter what he promises you. I feel this tonight. Everything that he says in his word, everything that he says, it has to accomplish that which his, what he has sent out to do. His word never returns void. He accomplishes that what he sent out his word to do. And he said in his word that if you won't stop, in due season, you shall reap. You shall reap. Listen to the word do in the phrase due season in the Greek means to have a distinct and personalized blessing. Man, I got excited when I read this. A distinct and personalized. You want something customized, and your due season is fixing to be customized to exactly what fits your need. It means to have a distinct and a personalized blessing. Season, the word season in the Greek means a kairos season, a God-appointed moment. And to reap. Any gardeners in the house? Planted a garden sometime in your life? To reap obviously means to harvest. It means like this. To reap means to have a harvest. It means like this. All this put together, if you don't stop, listen to this. I about shouted all over my office when I was studying, when I pieced all this together. If you don't stop, there is a God-appointed time that you will gain a harvest that is personalized to meet your need and to meet your desires of your heart. Due season literally means this. My time. If you're here tonight and you say, it is my time and it is my due season, I have ran the race and I'm ready to finish the course, it is your due season. I want you to get out. I'm not going to, the altars are always open, but I want you to come down. You know, I don't have to come lay hands on you for you to come down and receive a blessing. Even if I do lay hands on you, it ain't me that gives you a blessing. So if you're here tonight and you say, that's me, that I've been going through hell on earth, everything that's been, the cards have been stacked against me, everything has been fighting against me, but it is my time and it is my due season. If that's you, I want you to come up to this altar and just begin to praise the Lord. Lift up your hands as they begin to sing. I believe that tonight God is fixing to set some people free, and their due season is going to be reaped tonight. It means that there is a God-appointed time that you will gain a harvest that is personalized to meet your very need and the desires of your heart. Due season means my time. How many here tonight said it's my time? My time. It's my time tonight. I come to tell somebody tonight that it's your time. That your time has arrived. Your time has arrived. Your time is right around your corner. Your time for healing. Your time for deliverance. Your time for a breakthrough. Your time for a new season. Your time for a new door to open up. A new job to open up with greater benefits and greater blessings and greater pay. It is your time. Your due season is right around the corner, so don't stop. Don't sit in your pew tonight and stop. Don't sit in your pew tonight and say, I'm fine where I'm at. That means you're stopping. Don't get to a point tonight where you say, I'm going to stop. I'm going to stay right where I'm at. That's quitting. That's giving up. Don't quit. Don't stop. Keep pressing, for due season is coming your way. Saints of God, if you'll come down here with me tonight and help me pray around these altars. It's your time. Do you want it? It's your time. You know at Christmas time when you go to Grandma's house, oh, everything's laid out on the table before you. Grandma would, if she could, come to each and every person, Brother Hugh, and she'd spoon feed every single one of them if she wanted to, or if she could. Imagine this altar's area right here tonight as a table that God has set before you. He's not going to come spoon feed you, but He's got what you need here if you want it. It's your time. It's your time. Have your way, Chief.